Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 336. And because that ends with a 6, that'll be Tipitaka part 215, in which we will continue reading Cholavaga 4, and this is Cholavaga 4 part 5. Cholavaga means lesser division, basically rules of order and how they were established in the original Sangha. And if you'd like to start at the beginning of Cholavaga, spelled like Kulavaga, here's the playlist for Cholavaga. If, on the other hand, you would like to start at the very beginning of the Vinaya Pitaka and hear all the rules for monks, all the rules for nuns, the Mahavaga, the greater division, and then the Cholavaga, then you can click here for the Tipitaka playlist. Okay, so that was... at this point, I'm not sure how long ago that was, but it was about 3 years ago, at least, that we started reading Tipitaka, and we will be reading it for many years to come. Before we start today, I wanted to read aloud and just, you know, not really respond to, but give you my thoughts about a comment I received last night. I mean... yeah, 13 hours ago. So this is from Ardon Velamir. Hello, thank you for your comment. And this was on Tipitaka part 66. And again, we're on part 215 now. This was back before I started a channel called Buddhist Books Podcast. This was back when these recitals and commentaries, I guess, talking more like, we're over on a playlist called Buddhist Books on the channel called Edward Reeb. That's me. I'm Edward Reeb. And at a certain point, I decided rather than just having that be a very long playlist on my main channel, I made the Buddhist Books podcast channel and then also made it a podcast on the podcasting platform. So there's some folks who are hearing me but not seeing me. Anyway, okay. So he wrote, I know that this is 3 years too late. No, it's not. Today's fine. I mean, I've been doing this pretty often for that many years or more, 4 years at this point. But anyway, okay. But early Gandharan Buddhist texts show that 1. Pali text is not the earliest copy of Buddhist literature we have. Gandhari texts are. That's very interesting. And of course, I Googled that. The funny thing is my dad was the Buddhist in the family. And so he was the one that where I was getting all of my information up until he passed away in 1993. And these texts were discovered in 1994. So I would have heard of them if my dad had lived a little bit longer. And after him, there were a few people. Gordon, of course, some folks have heard me mention, and a few other people who had more knowledge than I, more specifically from Zen, and I learned a lot from them. And then later, of course, Alan Watts, sort of picked up where my dad left off as far as the beginning of my education at that time. And he was mostly talking, well, there were recorded lectures from him from the 50s until the 70s, basically. And so from him, from his perspective, he would come out and say the Pali texts, the Pali scriptures are the oldest Buddhist scriptures. And so I didn't know that that was no longer true. So thank you for letting me know. But from what I was able to gather, they're like fragments and pieces, and there's like some British collector has them and behind glass in his mansion or whatever, you know, some of them, and then others of them are here, others of them are there, and people are studying them and analyzing them. And as far as I know, and please do correct me if I'm wrong, there is not yet like a translated, complete volume of what they have found. But the interesting thing, one interesting thing is that they were found in Pakistan. I mean, in what they presently post partition. For those who don't know, when Indian independence happened and the British pulled out, the British decided, what we should do is just arbitrarily draw a line down between these, states and communities and decide that this is going to be, an Islamic-ruled country over on this side, and this is going to be a secular country on that side with a Hindu majority. And so there was all kinds of death and things that happened when people were, frantically trying to get to whichever side they wanted to, find themselves on in the end. And in the aftermath of the immense poverty and suffering from the partition times, that was when a young nun, relatively young, named Mother Teresa, saw so much suffering and just was like, I have to help these people, and just started and never stopped until she died. But anyway, I know there's controversy about Mother Teresa, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Two, Theravadan and Mahayana proto-movements developed alongside, and we are misjudging the way Buddhism actually developed. Theravada is not parent of Mahayana. Okay, that's also very interesting. I mean, to a certain degree, we kind of already know, like, they wouldn't have needed to call themselves Theravada if Mahayana hadn't already been there. If we were to say prior to Mahayana, in other words, prior to the evidence of Mahayana, which I guess the earliest evidence of Mahayana dates back around the same time as the earliest evidence of pre-sectarian early Buddhism. So these are interesting things to keep in mind. I'm probably going to err on the side of the general consensus, but it's interesting to know that these theories exist and to speculate about that. And surely we know that there were some 19 different orders that we refer to as Theravadan orders by the time Nagarjuna came around in 150. And, the way the narrative is that Mahayana sort of came into prominence around that time. And then, of course, in the 6th century Common Era, there were these books here, the Theravadan scholar monks who clarify the teachings of the Tipitaka. And for sure, by the time they were writing, they were very aware of the existence of Mahayana, which had spread all throughout Asia by that time, and were, perhaps clarifying their difference, their particular identity as separate from and distinct from Mahayana. A similar thing happened in early Christianity with the development of what became known as, sort of the European Jewish identity as contrasted against what became the Christian identity, where in the beginning there were the Jewish people who believed in Jesus and there were some of the Jewish people who didn't. And then the way that the narrative is written is that, oh no, as soon as you're a disciple, then you're hiding from the so-called, the Jews, as it's written in quite problematically in the English translations of the Bible. So, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, so that's interesting. Those are interesting things to keep in mind. And then three, even some Vajrayana practices lead to a distinct Mula Sarvastivada Vinaya, making all three major Buddhist denominations potentially as old. Perhaps, although the tantric movement that heavily influenced what became popularly known as Vajrayana Buddhism did come later. Vajrayana was developing, at a certain time where Mahayana had already kind of like had its identity, clarified, although there were different forms of Mahayana. So many names. There's the Lotus Sutra based one that starts with an N in Japan that's very focused on the Lotus Sutra and focused on building stupas that you could say came after Vajrayana, and so, yeah, for sure. I don't think it's that important. I mean, it is interesting to keep in mind. I mean, I like to be aware of the estimated time regions, you know, oh, when the, this sutra was probably written at this time, some people say it's older, that kind of thing. And to kind of get a timeline that way of the scriptures. These are definitely the oldest, like, complete scriptures that aren't just fragments that were discovered in 1994 in a place where, you know, Buddhism isn't encouraged, you know, Pakistan these days. But it is, according to the story, that's the region where Padmasambhava hailed from. So that's very interesting to think that they have these, the most ancient Buddhist scriptures ever of all was in the region where they say Padmasambhava came from. It lends a little more credibility to, you know, I mean, not that there needs to be lent credibility, but it is interesting to, it'd be interesting to have a time machine and see how it all went down. Thank you for the comment. Doesn't really change my approach all that much, but it is interesting to be aware of these ideas and theories, you know. Phrases like may have, you know, okay, you know, file that away under maybe. But yeah, definitely those eldest of the scriptures, I look forward to adding them to my collection of Buddhist books as soon as they're available in English. I mean, maybe they're available today, like I said, but I'll look into it later on. I also wanted to mention that Melinda Panna, that was considered part of the Pali Canon in, if I'm not mistaken, Burma, but not in Sri Lanka. And it tells the story of the Parthian king, I believe, or, you know, king of Greek descent who was ruling in parts of northwestern India and what's presently parts of northern Pakistan as well as Afghanistan, that empire that was there for a few hundred years after Alexander the Great took over the Persian Empire. The story of him meeting Nagasena, the Buddhist sage, and the conversations that they have. We've been reading that on a channel called Buddhist Books B-Sides, which is, you know, there's a couple books, the 14 Dalai Lamas and Melinda Panna, that I wanted to add to the, you know, what we read, but I didn't want to clutter up. I want to keep half of what we're reading here, half of the 10 Tipitaka. So I didn't want to bring it down to 3 of the 10 Tipitaka by adding 2 more books. So yeah, anyway, so it's better than I was expecting. I didn't have incredibly high expectations, but the story of, you know, the backstory of King Melinda, who's the name being used apparently for King Menander II. I don't know why. Maybe it's a different language or something that his name is that. Nagasena having been Mahasena, a god who had to be convinced to incarnate in order to have this conversation. It's very interesting, and I do recommend it. Here's the playlist for Melinda Panna over on the other channel. There's only 2 episodes so far, so they come out about once a month, it works out, because we're reading so many things on this and the other channel. So that's it as far as, you know, yeah, the comments and the update there. Hope everybody's doing well. This is the last episode of Buddhist Books that's going to be filmed here in this specific location, and it's going to be at least probably 12 days before this is set up in our new residence in a different part of Goa, India. So sorry about the delay between episodes, and I look forward to having this set up again. So anyway, it's a little bit bittersweet that as soon as I finish recording here, I'll be packing up these books and wrapping these statues in bubble wrap with little tissues across the face and that kind of thing. Okay, continuing where we left off last time, which I'm now remembering, was in the middle of sort of a long run-on legal thing. So the interesting part of the episode is finished, and now we're going to get to this reading. We'll see how far we get into it. Maybe it'll get interesting. Who knows? Quote, what is here censure and a legal question arise? Okay, so Lord Buddha's still mid-sentence. That quote is at the beginning of a paragraph, and there was no quote at the end of the previous paragraph. So it's He's still talking. Okay. What is here censure and a legal question arising from censure? In this case, monks censure. In this case, monks censure a monk with falling away from moral habit. Or three dots. Thank you, Polytext Society. I almost forgot about you until I saw the three dots. Thank you for all your dots. I wonder, has the Garvandan... I've already forgotten the name. I'm sure I got that wrong. Have the discovery of these even older than Polytexts decreased interest in the Polytext Society? I hope not. Everybody ought to click the link to the Polytext Society in the description below and buy yourself at least one book from the Polytext Society. Maybe join if you'd like. I don't know. You know, become a member if you want to. It's up to you, of course. They seem like good people. Okay, so monks censure a monk with falling away from moral habit, or three dots, with falling away from a right mode of living. Whatever herein is censure, blaming, three dots, instigating, this is censure and a legal question arising from censure. Anybody involved in the translating of the even older text discovered much more recently, please include the whole text when you translate it and don't just randomly replace phrases and paragraphs and pages with three dots. I'm just saying. It's just begging you. Okay. Right. What is here censure but not a legal question? Mother censures son and son censures mother, three dots, and friend censures friend. This is censure but not a legal question. Okay, this sounds familiar from before. I hope I'm not rereading it. I don't think I am. Oh, dispute but not a legal question. Right. So we're going over this with censure. What is dispute but not a legal question? What is censure but not a legal question? All right, we'll read it. That's what we're doing. We're reading every word of these books. Okay, most people say to skip the Vinaya Pitaka, so I'm not going to. I'm going to spend years reading it. Because they told me not to. And I'm a rebel. That's what it's all about, Buddhism, being a rebel. No, I mean, abstractly on a certain level, but never mind. I'll keep reading. Mother carries son, and son carries mother, three dots. And friend, I mean, not carries, censures. And friend censures friend. This is censure, but not a legal question. What is here a legal question but not censure? A legal question arising from offenses. A legal question arising from obligations. A legal question arising from disputes. This is a legal question but not censure. What is here a legal question as well as censure? A legal question arising from censure is a legal question as well as censure. Can there be an offense and a legal question arising from offenses? An offense but no legal question? A legal question but no offense? No offense. I mean, never mind. A legal question as well as an offense? There may be an offense and a legal question arising from offenses. There may be an offense but no legal question. There may be a legal question but no offense. There may be a legal question as well as an offense. What is here an offense and a legal question arising from offenses? The five classes of offenses yield a legal question arising from offenses, and the seven classes of offenses yield a legal question arising from offenses. This is an offense and a legal question arising from offenses. What is here an offense but not a legal question? Stream attainment and attainment. This is falling, but not a legal question. What? What is here a legal question but not an offense? A legal question arising from obligations, a legal question arising from disputes, a legal question arising from censure. This is a legal question but not an offense. What is here a legal question as well as an offense? A legal question arising from offenses is a legal question as well as an offense. Can there be an obligation and a legal question arising from obligations? An obligation but no legal question. A legal question but no obligation. A legal question as well as an obligation. There may be an obligation and a legal question arising from obligations. There may be an obligation but no legal question. There may be a legal question but no obligation. There may be a legal question as well as an obligation. What is here an obligation and a legal question arising from obligations? Whatever is an order's business and ought to be done by it. A formal act for which leave ought to be asked. A formal act at which a motion is put. A formal act at which a motion is put and followed by one resolution. A formal act at which a motion is put and followed by a resolution made three times. This is an obligation and a legal question arising from obligations. What is here an obligation but no legal question? An obligation to a teacher, an obligation to a preceptor, an obligation to one who has the same preceptor, an obligation to one who has the same teacher. This is an obligation but not a legal question. What is here a legal question but not an obligation? A legal question arising from disputes, three dots. Arising from censure, three dots. Arising from offenses. This is a legal question but not an obligation. What is here a legal question as well as an obligation? A legal question arising from obligations is a legal question as well as an obligation. I remember in the early days when we were reading the first book, Parajika, the four big rules. And in particular, I remember being in Kerala, sitting in a chair, and I had one of the flags of Padmasambhava hanging behind me or something like that. And a weird angle, and just I couldn't deal with the three dots, and I just started, that was the first time I started yelling at the Polytech Society for being so disrespectful of getting sidetracked. What is here a legal question as well as an obligation? A legal question arising from obligations is a legal question as well as an obligation. I think I might have read that twice. By how many kinds of decision is a legal question arising from disputes agreed upon? A legal question arising from disputes is agreed upon by two kinds of decisions, by a verdict in the presence of, and by the decision of the majority. If one says, quote within quotes, can it be that in respect of a legal question arising from disputes without having recourse to one kind of decision, the decision of the majority, one may agree upon it by the other kind of decision, the verdict in the presence of? End quote within quotes, he should be told, quote within quotes, it can be, end quote within quotes, it is like this. In the case monks dispute saying, quote within quotes, it is Dhamma, end quote within quotes, three dots. Or, quote within quotes, it is a bad offense, end quote within quotes. If monks, these monks are able to settle that legal question, this, monks, is called a legal question that is settled. By what is it settled? By a verdict in the presence of. And what here is needed for a verdict in the presence of? The presence of an order, the presence of rule, the presence of discipline, the presence of individuals. And what here is the presence of an order? When as many monks as are competent for formal acts have arrived, when the consent of those deserving to send their consent has been brought, when being face to face they do not protest, this is here the presence of an order. And they have to be there to be silent and vote by being silent. Okay. There's a lot of Lord Buddha and others remaining giving consent by remaining silent. So someone says, will you have dinner with me tonight? And they don't respond. And everybody understands that that means yes. Different time. Okay. And what is here the presence of rule, the presence of discipline? If that legal question is settled by whatever is rule, by whatever is discipline, by whatever is the teacher's instruction, that is here the presence of rule, the presence of discipline. And what is here the presence of individuals? Whoever quarrels and whoever he quarrels with, both hostile about the matter, come face to face. This is the presence of individuals. Monks, if a legal question is settled thus, and if one who carries it out opens it up again, in opening up there is an offensive expiation. I remember those. You remember those? It says Pocky Tia 63. Okay. We'll put a... That was when we read Pocky Tia 63. Ah. Better than a footnote. I mean, never mind. Okay. If monk... These monks are not able to settle... Really? He's talking to one singular monk all of a sudden? If, monk, these monks are not able to settle that legal question in that residence, then, monks... I think it's a typo. Miss Horner, what are you doing? Thank you, Miss Horner, for all this hard work. I'll keep reading. Okay, if monks, these monks, as they are going to that residence, are able to settle that legal question on the way, this, monks, is called a legal question that is settled. By what is it settled? By a verdict in the presence of, three dots, parentheses, so we just covered something very similar to this just now, remember? Says the Polytech Society. Three more dots after the end parentheses. In criticizing, there is an offense of expiation. If monks, these monks, as they are going to that residence, are not able to settle that legal question on the way, then monks, these monks, having arrived at that residence, should speak thus to the resident monks. Quote within quotes. This legal question, your reverences, has arisen thus, has sprung up thus. It were good if the venerable ones could settle this legal question by rule, by discipline, by the teacher's instruction, so that this legal question may be properly settled. End quote within quotes. If monks, the resident monks, are the senior and the incoming monks, the more newly ordained, then monks, the incoming monks, should be spoken to thus by the resident monks. Quote within quotes. Please do you, venerable ones, remain at a respectful distance for a moment until we have considered. End quote within quotes. But if monks, the resident monks, are the more newly ordained, and the incoming monks are the senior, then monks, the incoming monks, should be spoken to thus by these resident monks. Quote within quotes. Well then do you, venerable ones, remain here for a moment until we have considered. Interesting. These little, very hair-splitting, nitpicking difference in phrasing. That's interesting, right? A little. If monks, it occurs to these resident monks while they are thus considering, quote within quotes, we are not able to settle this legal question according to rule, according to discipline, according to the teacher's instruction, end quote within quotes. That legal question should not be taken up. But if, monks, it occurs to the resident monks while they are thus considering, quote within quotes, we are able to settle this legal question according to rule, according to discipline, according to the teacher's instruction, end quote within quotes, monks, the incoming monks, should be spoken to thus by these resident monks. So that first monks was Lord Buddha talking, saying, like, Jim, hey Jim, Jim, if Jim does this, then Jim, Jim, you there, Jim? So, monks. He's talking to monks, right? It must be spoken to thus by these resident monks. Quote within quotes. If you, venerable ones, will tell us how this legal question has arisen, how it has sprung up, then insofar as we settle this legal question according to rule, according to discipline, according to the teacher's instruction, so will it be settled. In this way, we will take up this legal question. But if you, venerable ones, will not tell us how this legal question has arisen, how it has sprung up, then insofar as we settle this legal question according to three dots, what's in those three dots? I don't know. Polytech Society won't say. They're like that. They're weird. Anyway, the teacher's instruction, so will it be settled. Oh, okay, so they were listing out according to rule, according to law, according to discipline, according to the teacher's instruction. They didn't feel like adding those extra six words. I understand, your hands are tired. Okay, end quotes. Having thus arranged it properly, monks, that legal question should be taken up by the resident monks. Monks. The resident monks should be spoken to thus by the incoming monks. Quote within quotes, we will tell the venerable ones how this legal question has arisen, how it has sprung up. If the venerable ones are able, with or without this much, to settle this legal question, according to rule, according to discipline, according to the teacher's instruction, then will it be properly settled, and we will therefore give this legal question into the charge of the Venerable Ones. But if the Venerable Ones are not able, with or without this much, to settle this legal question according to three dots, the teacher's instruction, then will it not be properly settled, and we will not give this legal question into the charge of the Venerable Ones. We ourselves will become the masters in regard to this legal question. End quote within quotes. Having thus arranged it properly, monks, the incoming monks, should give that legal question into the charge of the resident monks. Okay. So if you can figure it out, great. If you can't, we'll figure it out. Fair enough. It's just sort of awkwardly phrased. It sounds like they're saying that, oh, we'll be the masters if you can't handle it. But anyway, okay, monks, if these monks are able to settle that legal question, this, monks, is called a legal question that is settled. By what is it settled? Three dots. Okay, so this, again, remember last time when I said that it was a repeat of the stuff that we had gone on before? So this is that same thing again. It's the third time they've said all basically the same stuff, so we're not going to translate it. We're just going to tell you to flip back a page or two and read it again. Thank you, Polytech Society. End parentheses. Oh, no, they didn't end the parentheses. Miss Horner, you got to take a nap. You got to get a proper amount of sleep. Stop drinking. No, I'm not accusing her. Never mind. Okay, just a little bit more typos in this couple of pages than in usual couples of pages. So I'm speculating that perhaps she needed a nap. We all need a nap. Anyway, okay, as in before. Okay, three dots. In criticizing, there is an offense of expiation. Okay, I'm curious. You know, last time we stopped in the middle of this rambling because it was long, and that time I hadn't gone on and on. Yeah, okay. So that's what we're going to do again. So, you know, when after we've packed up the books and shifted everything and then put all the books back, then we will sit down, I will sit down, and pick up where we left off today and read a bit more of this kind of stuff. And it kind of goes on and on and on, but then suddenly Cholavaga 4 will end. And normally I don't peek ahead, but this time, just for the sake of deciding whether to push through till if it was going to get to a breaking point, but it's not. It's going to be just like that for another episode or two, depending on whether I talk in the next episode or just read. Anyway, I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, in spite of the reading portion not being very interesting. Sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes it tells interesting stories, and we get to know interesting characters, interesting monks, naughty monks, and good monks, too, occasionally. But since we're reading the rules, it tends to focus on naughty monks. But sometimes the naughty monks are naughty because they disrespect good monks, so we get to know good monks every now and again. But there it is. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I will go ahead and do the usual closing. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us, and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.